please, if you would, as we turn to the book of Isaiah, much that we're going to glean from Isaiah's book today, Isaiah 48, and one verse there, verse 18. Praise God. We thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord and being faithful. Please remember again the marriage seminar on October 24th and 25th, and let folks know about it. It will be a good time of fellowship, a good time of instruction, a good time we can enjoy some snacks together and visit together for a bit. I know it's going to be a blessed time. Isaiah 48 and 18, let's read together this one passage as the Lord is making known his proclamation. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Praise God. Now, note how that is an exclamation with an exclamation point. I don't know how anointed punctuation is in the Word of God, but I think it shows us something as to how strong that statement is from the word of the Lord. Oh, if you had listened to me and hearkened to my commandments. The Lord is saying that. Now, consider this. He's the one who made everything. He's the Lord of the universe. He is the Almighty. And he is admonishing not the stars, not the planets, not the universe. He's admonishing us, you and I. Amen. Oh, if you had just listened to my commandments, here's what could happen. Your peace would be like a river. Amen. That's a lot of peace, isn't it? And your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Praise God. The change that God could bring if we but listen to him. You may be seated. God bless you. How many times as parents have we admonished our kids? You should have listened to me. We try not to say that to our spouse, hopefully. You should have listened to me. And we try not to say that to other adults because we're trying to be considerate. We're trying to be compassionate and not say, I told you, and not go with that. But how necessary it is to let our children know as their understanding develops and their speaking ability begins to increase. They hear, but they don't often obey or don't always obey. So they need to learn to listen. There are some characters in the scriptures that we can look at today and learn from what they did and what they didn't do. And I think that is the essence of learning. I was reading a book by John Maxwell, Sometimes You Win, and we know how the rest of that statement goes, Sometimes You Lose. But he crossed out lose, and the title of his book is Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn. We learn. And we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our losses. We learn from our hurts, our pains. Hopefully we learn that we can walk with God and hearken to his command. Listen to what God says, because it's for your benefit. It's for your good. Amen. Nadab and Abihu are two sons of the priest named Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Moses and Miriam. Aaron was the one who was selected by God to be the voice or the mouthpiece of Moses. Moses, remember, stood at the burning bush. Now, this is incredible. It would be amazing. This is not a bush. This is a beautiful arrangement that Sister Bartlett, or I think it's Sister Bartlett, put together. But imagine it bursting into flame right here and a voice speaking to you from that manifestation. That's what happened to Moses. He's standing there having a conversation with God. The bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. A supernatural visitation from the Lord. And Moses is offering excuse after excuse. And one of those excuses is, I can't speak. I'm not one, you know, kind of like somebody being called on to testify on their birthday. Just not an easy thing. And Moses is feeling like, I'm not qualified. I'm not eloquent. I'm not able. And God, you know, it's amazing how that five books of the Bible are written by Moses then afterwards. And he does sing. He does speak. He does pray. He does direct. He does say a lot of things. God won't call you unless he's going to enable you. God won't draw you to him unless he's going to impart some great things to you. That's the amazing thing that we exalt the Lord about, and we recognize, I can trade my liabilities. That's what we were singing about. Trade my liabilities to gain his assets. Trade my negatives to gain his positives. How incredible it is that God blesses us in that real way. And he did that for Moses. And also said, Aaron will be your spokesman. And so, we have these two individuals who are mightily used of God. Nadab and Abihu are sons of Aaron. They had the amazing example of their dad and their uncle and their aunt Miriam and how to serve God, how to obey God, how to follow the Lord, how to offer sacrifice, how to please the Lord in worship. They saw example after example after example. And in one in particular, in Leviticus chapter 9, there was a blessing from God that came as the result of Aaron offering sacrifice to the Lord. I mean, it was so powerful that fire fell from heaven and devoured the sacrifice that Aaron offered. That would be quite a result, wouldn't it? That would be amazing. Again, God ministering by showing what he can do simply by fire erupting out of nowhere upon that sacrifice. A blessing from God, the power of God that was revealed. The people fell on their faces and shouted before God as how great he is and how powerful he is. Now, I don't know the time interval between Leviticus chapter 9 and then the events that happened in Leviticus chapter 10. One chapter. Just the space of a few verses. I don't know what the time interval was, whether it was a week or a month or a year, or how long had gone on between the time that Aaron offered the sacrifice in the right way with the correct instruction and with God's response coming with fire in an incredible way. And then the actions of Nadab and Abihu, who knew the right way to offer sacrifice, who had seen it demonstrated time and time again, and probably had followed through on the exact instructions many times themselves. But this time, they did it wrong. They had been instructed, don't offer what was called strange fire, strange incense. Always make sure it comes from the altar. And oh my word, there's all kinds of examples and all kinds of principles that we can gain from that. Just allow me to say that at this point, at this time in our lives, there's got to be a connection always with our repentance before God. God and our desire to please him and saying, God, forgive me for the wrongs that I've done. God, forgive me and cleanse me from the things and the mistakes that I have made in your sight. Not just that I burned the eggs or I burned the toast, but God, I thought wrong thoughts. God, I did wrong things. God, I said what I shouldn't have said. Please forgive me. Please change me and help me to obey your word even more. That's what I'm talking about now, okay? And there's always got to be that connection with our worship. Our worship and our giving of ourselves and our praise unto the Lord. Our giving in the offering. That's worship. We give of our time and our substance. We give of ourselves unto the Lord. That worship, help me to do it correctly, God, because to do it wrong, like Nadab and Abihu did, brought fire. Oh, not Not the fire like the bush, not the fire that burned up the sacrifice, a fire that devoured them. Ooh, wow, that's harsh. Ooh, God, that's difficult. That's tough judgment, Lord. How can you do that? Well, God, as he said in his word, I send my word forth. It will accomplish what I've sent it to do. It will prosper in the purpose that I have given it. It will not return void. The same word that can bring abundance, the same word that can bring blessing, the same word that can bring all that God wants to provide for us in a positive way will also bring judgment. And so, I've got to make sure I order my steps according to the Word of God. I've got to make sure I'm following through on what His Word tells me to do. And I'm not just taking a page here and a page there out of the Word of God and say, oh, that's what I like. That's what I'll go by. That's what I'll follow. No, God's thoughts, like Ricky was telling us here, God's thoughts are above our thoughts. God's ways are above our ways. I've got to make sure I'm leaving behind just the fleshly and the earthly and that which is carnal, and I'm reaching for that which is God's and His power and His blessing and what He wants to direct me in, because they are so much higher, so much greater, so much more powerful than what I am able to do. Oh, yes, that fire fell, but this time it fell in judgment. They disobeyed and they suffered terrible consequences. God help us to follow through on what His Word says. Oh, if you had only listened. There's a servant of the prophet Elisha named Gehazi. Elisha, remember, is the one who followed the protege. He was the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And he asked for the ability to do twice the miracles, twice the amount of blessings that came as a result of Elijah's walk with God. Elisha says, I want a double portion. Nothing wrong with wanting more from God. Nothing wrong with wanting an incredible blessing, an incredible touch from God, an incredible audience with the Lord and His response in your life. Nothing wrong with wanting more from God. There's a lot of people today in this world who want more of their income, more of their affluence, more recognition, and so on. And they're seeking after the things that are just temporal and just temporary here on this life. It's okay to want more from the eternal. It's okay to want more from the eternal Father, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one who is wonderful, a counselor, and can give so much more. Amen. Thank God that we can receive more from Him. But Elisha had this servant named Gehazi. Now, Gehazi saw incredible miracles as Elisha was doing double what Elijah did, the miracle of the child of the Shunammite woman. And that child died. He saw that child raised from the dead. He saw food that was poisonous made beneficial and made nutritious simply by the prophet adding some meal to that, some flour that he sprinkled into that pot of pottage, and it was made nutritious and able to feed a large group of people that day. Amazing. The Lord could do that sort of thing on that small a gesture. And then big things too, like Naaman, who was the captain of the Syrian army, but he was a leper. No cure for leprosy, no way to treat it, no way to cure it. But God did a work for Naaman. And Gehazi saw that with his own eyes. He saw Naaman dipping himself in the river seven times. And the seventh time he came up, his flesh was as a little child's. These beautiful children here today, no blemishes, no problems, just great complexions. That's how Naaman, who had ugly sores from leprosy on his body, now was changed just like that. Because he obeyed. He hearkened to the commandment. Even though he argued about it, even though he was a little bit puzzled, even though he was a little bit frustrated, And he said, the dirty waters of Jordan, we've got clean waters back in Damascus and in Syria. And Syria is so much in the news today. That's where this man lived. And that's where he received his miracle. Because he obeyed, he hearkened, he listened, he heeded, he paid attention. Gehazi saw it. Naaman was so thankful. He wanted to bless Elisha with gifts. He wanted to give him money. He wanted to give him garments. He wanted to give him so much. But Elisha said, no, not time to receive. And so Naaman and his party, rejoicing, excited, thrilled. How many times did Naaman, as he's riding in his captain of the Syrian army chariot, I don't think it was an ordinary model. I think it was classy. But he wasn't paying attention to the ornamentation. He wasn't looking at the gold, the silver, and the bronze and so on that was so nice in his chariot. He was looking at his hands that were so ugly with sores, now made like a child's. He was holding up his brass mirror and looking at his face and looking at his ears and asking his servant, said, hey, how does my back look? Is that sore there? Nope, it's clear, it's gone, it's all taken care of. That's what he was paying attention to. Praise God. Thank the Lord that there's real changes that God can make in our lives. There's powerful changes that God can bring. There's wonderful things that God can do. And Naaman experienced it, and Gehazi saw it, and he heard Elisha say, no, I don't need your gifts. Thank you. But Gehazi thought differently. I'm going to go after him. The Bible says he ran after him. And Naaman stopped his chariot and asked, is all well? All's well. But there's been some visitors come, and my master thought it would be a good idea to give them some gifts. Oh, wonderful. Here, let me give you two bags of silver. Let me give you two changes of garment. Here, you take this. Gehazi did. And then he walked back to his dwelling, to his master. Elisha asked him, where have you been? Gehazi said, I haven't been anywhere. Elisha said, is it time to receive those garments, that silver? And the sad thing is, because he didn't listen, he ended up receiving the leprosy that had departed from Naaman now upon Gehazi. Oh, if you had only listened. If you'd only hearkened. If you'd only paid attention. I don't know where in the process here Elisha was in all the double portion and the increase of miracles and so on. And it's documented that there are twice as many miracles that Elisha was blessed to do than Elijah did. He really did get a double portion. I don't know where in the sequence of events now this was taking place, but Gehazi missed out because he didn't listen. How important it is to listen. Amen. Peter heard the Lord many, many times. He heard the Lord say his name. He heard the Lord say, come. And he walked on the water. He heard the voice from heaven. And he's so excited, saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. Peter is a fisherman. What kind of tabernacle would he be able to build? Well, he was so excited. He was ready to build. He heard all of that. He heard the Lord tell him he had the keys to the kingdom. And then he spoke out. Peter was outspoken. He really was. And this time, he when the Lord was prophesying about his death, he said, Lord, I'll die with you. The Lord turned to him and said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter may have shook his head. Deny? No, I said die. I didn't say deny. I said, Lord, I'll die with you. But Peter heard the rooster crow. And he turned and looked at the Lord, and the Lord was looking at him. And Peter went and wept bitterly, the Bible says. Defeated, crushed, ashamed. Feel like he failed. He wept bitterly. Well, the 3 days go by. Days of weeping days of sorrow, days of hopes being dashed, despondent, despair, depressed. They were downtrodden. But then the reports start coming in. The women say, the tomb's empty. They say they've seen an angel. The two on the road to Emmaus, I like how they're caught up in the scripture study that the Lord shares with them, and they're thrilled with it. And in Luke 24 and 34, they're saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Simon is Peter. He's appeared to him. What was that like? What did Peter think as he sees the risen Lord and he remembers his denial? Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment. Then had thy peace been as a river. But oh, Jesus understands and says, peace be unto you. Praise God. And restores peace to his troubled heart. Amen. And he tells him to receive the Spirit. And he asked him three times, lovest thou me, as though to expunge the three denials. And Peter reaffirms that love for the Lord. Peter's life is devoted to loving and obeying the Lord. And he's baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. And he receives the Spirit of God into his life. And there's a dynamic change that comes to him because now he is listening. Now he is hearing. Now he is hearkening to the voice of the Lord. And he uses the keys to three groups of people as he opens the doors of salvation to the kingdom. And he tells them to be baptized in the name of Jesus and to receive the Holy Ghost. Thank God the consistency is there in the Word of God, and we can follow it again and again and again and see that it's there. And you and I, thank God, we have been called. Now, to respond to a call it's necessary to hear that call. Amen. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 9 and gives instructions as to who we are now as comparison to what we used to be. Thank God, we're not what we used to be. We're not what we should be as yet, but we're not what we used to be. We're moving into that realm of blessing that God has for us because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. And when we respond to that call, when we hearken to his commandments, when we hear his voice, and we leave where we have been and we move into that realm of blessing, just like Lazarus lying there in that tomb and a stone rolled there. He's been there for 4 days. His body is decomposing. In that arid desert climate, the decomposition is happening rather quickly. His sisters are concerned. By now, there's a smell. By now, the odor is awful. Lord, what should we do? Roll the stone away. You're going to see the glory of God. You move some things out of your life. You move some barriers. You move some situations that are holding you back. You move them out of the way. It's amazing what God will show you. Amen. But Lazarus is lying there dead. Been there 4 days. But he hears. How can the dead hear? Because God calls. Lazarus, come forth. Praise God. And he's Jewish burial was very thorough. They wrapped him in linen cloths. They inserted spices and fragrances and so on, trying somehow to show honor and love and compassion and respect to those who have departed and so on. And Lazarus hears that call, come forth. And so he does his best. All wrapped up and a napkin on his face and so on, and here he comes. He's doing the best he can, coming forth. Oh, God will reward any effort that you put forth as you respond to him. God will do a work, hallelujah, where the grave closed, where the death, where the problems, where the situations can be reversed, and God in his miraculous power can show his strength on your behalf. Lazarus is a real guy. He's a real individual who suffered a real death from a real sickness. But God is able to reverse it and call him forth. Oh, if you could only hear it. Hallelujah. He calls us to a holy lifestyle. He which hath called you is holy. So be you holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is also not just in terms of verbal exchange, but it's conduct, it's manner of living. It reflects the one who has called you. Praise God. Called you to be saints, to be consecrated, to be pure, to be morally blameless, to move into that realm because you're hearing the commands of God, because you're hearkening to his voice. Your life is changing. You're leaving behind the things that are weak and beggarly and not able to help you, but just all they do is pull you down. You're leaving those things behind. You're moving into light. You're moving into love. You're moving into compassion. You're moving into strength. Praise God. I'm thankful I made that move over 40 years ago. I'm thankful that I know the power of God to do a change and a work that is everlasting. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful I can be called by his name. Those waters of baptism are not just a ritual. It's not just an ordinance. I'm called by the name above every name. I'm called by the name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the power of that name. The power of the name brings healing, Brother David. The power of the name brings deliverance. The power of the name of Jesus brings a change that nothing else can. I'm glad I'm called by that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful we can hear his voice. The Bible tells us about those in the book of Acts who heard the word. Heard the word is the phrase, and there was growth. In Acts 4:4, there was 5,000 who heard the word. They hearkened to the commandment, and they were added to the church. Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10 received the Spirit when they heard Peter preach. All they that heard the word, say that with me, heard the word. They heard it, and they responded, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord is so great and so powerful. In Acts chapter 19, there's a city called Ephesus. And all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, Jews and Greeks, all of them. But a man named Demetrius, who was a craftsman, and he was able to fashion little statues of a goddess named Diana. And her temple was in the city of Ephesus. And they made a lot of money making those little statues of the goddess Diana, and they sold them. And here comes Paul preaching, there's no gods that are made with hands. Well, that makes sense. If you had to fashion it, if you had to form it, you had to get the materials and you had to carve it, you made it. That's not a god. That's an idol. And Paul's preaching, those aren't gods. They're made with your hands. You need to worship the one who is made without hands, whose hands can touch you and change you and bring power and blessing into your life. Well, Demetrius thought, wait a minute now, if we go with that message, it's going to change our financial condition. It's going to change our income. And so for 2 hours, there was an uproar in the city of Ephesus where they shouted over and over for 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. That was the phrase they shouted for 2 straight hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. But people think you're crazy to come to the house of the Lord and raise your hands and clap your hands and give praise to the Lord for a couple hours. No, I'm thankful that I can be blessed in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And know how good it is to be in his presence and to know the strength and the blessing and the touch that he's able to provide. Amen. Peace like a river, righteousness like waves of the sea. God is going to bring a powerful change to you when you worship and exalt his name. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul was later able to write to those who were believers, those who followed the Lord. He said, you trusted. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed it. And when you believed it, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You followed through on the commandments, and God followed through on his word. Oh, I'm glad that's the way it works. Amen. Some people would say, oh my goodness, when is that preacher going to quit preaching? My stomach's growling, I'm ready to go eat. Paul preached until midnight. And out of the third story window, there was a young man named Eutychus. He was tired, he was sleepy, he was wondering, oh my word, this preacher's going on and on. He dozed off, he fell off the ledge, he fell three stories down. And the fall killed him. They were all upset and they were all shook up. Paul said, his life's still in him. Paul went over and took him by the hand and raised him up. And then Paul kept on preaching till the sun came up. Don't you ever complain about pastor preaching a long time now. Amen. Praise God. But oh, thank God he heard the word. Now, consider this. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And interestingly enough, that forms an acronym, ASK, ask. Amen. He invites us. He invites us. Knock, and it shall be opened. But now Jesus said, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, he told us, when you knock, it's going to be open for you. But now he says, I'm knocking. I'm standing at your door, and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will. Who? Jesus. Jesus, the one who conquered death, the one who defeated hell, the one who took the keys from the devil. Amen. He said, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful that when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, he's there for us. But now he says, I'm knocking. I'm knocking, and I want you to open the door. I want you to respond to my voice. Praise God, and then I'm going to bless you. Would you stand right now? The Lord wants us to listen. Hearken to my commandments, he said. Listen, pay attention, heed. The devil says, oh, commandments, commandments now, that's too hard. Commandments are going to make demands. Commandments are going to be harsh, judgmental, difficult. Too much. You don't need to pay attention to that. You don't need to listen. But the Bible says, his commandments are not grievous. That's the old King James language. Modern translations say, his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not irksome. His commandments are not oppressive. But the devil wags his old deceiving tongue and tries to make obedience difficult. And oh, if we hearken to his commandments, look at the results. God says, I can make peace like a river for you. And he qualifies that in his teaching. He says, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives. World peace is a pretty fragile thing right now. World peace is an elusive, imaginary entity that escapes the grasp of so many. Horrible things being done in Syria and Iraq to those who call themselves Christians. Terrible things being done in Nigeria, other parts of Africa, to those who claim Jesus as Lord. peace is so elusive, but Jesus says, I give you my peace. My peace. Your righteousness, or right wiseness, right choices, can be like the sea and the waves that are unstoppable, and they just keep going. Not just a one-time deal, but something that's going to can be consistent in your life, increasing, ongoing. Praise God. I'm glad the Bible lets us know the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God. Amen. And that kingdom is going to continue. In the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus invites, let him that heareth and let him that is athirst come. Drink of the waters of life freely, whosoever will. That's an incredible invitation. Can you hear it? Have you heard that? Whosoever will. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your current belief system is. Doesn't matter where you've been or who you've been with. Whosoever will. The Lord makes that invitation. Now, he makes that invitation for a reason. So that he could give peace where there was turmoil. So that he could give peace where there was trauma and trouble. So that he can instill peace, because his love will change you. Not going to put a band-aid on things. Not going to just pat you on the head and say, it's going to be okay. No, he'll change you from the inside out. That's the power Jesus has. He'll change you, and then the circumstances begin to change. That's what he can do. And I need for you to hear that right now. Because God can make that change for you right now. Right now. If you want that change, you want that touch, you want that blessing, step out from where you are. Well, why do we do that? Because figuratively, you're stepping away from the past, you're stepping away from problems. You're stepping in obedience to what God wants to give you. In obedience to the blessing he wants to impart. So we come to a place of prayer, a place of seeking the Lord, a place of responding. Say, Lord, I've heard you, and now I'm coming to you. That's the important thing. We're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about, you know, signing a card. We're talking about getting in touch with the Almighty, the one who is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And all the changes that he can make, the blessing that he could bring. Can you just close your eyes now? We just want to shut everything else out. We just want to focus in our mind and in our heart on the one who is calling us right now, Jesus. The one who is reaching into your heart and into your mind, Jesus, who can make changes you've only dreamed about, who can give peace you've only longed for, you've never experienced it, who can bring righteousness into your life, right choices, right living, right outcomes, right thinking. That's what he can do. And just in your mind's eye now, just imagine him reaching out to you. There's nail scars in his hands to prove his love for you. Just imagine him reaching out to you. His love and his compassion are what causes him to extend his hands. And could you right now, with your eyes closed again, we don't want to be looking around, we don't want to be worried about what somebody else is doing, what somebody else is thinking, it's just you and Jesus right now. Could you just reach your hands out to him? Just go ahead, just raise your hands right to him now. He's holding his hands out to you.